Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 5 of Let's Talk About the Music. Now, if you're listening to this click behind me in my headphones, it's called the Metron Click. Now, Guy Lilly, this is their topic. Guy Lilly is our guest speakers on this device. And I did some digging on the history, and there's a lot of names I'm not able to pronounce. I've tried, so I'm going to do my best. And those who are going to listen and watch the show later, there is going to be a blog. Like, every single episode has their own blog to learn more about this band, the social media, and all that stuff. So this is what we're going to do with the exact same thing. So the names I'm not going to be able to pronounce properly, so I'm going to do my best. But all the names will be in the blog, okay? All right, so if you're hearing the click, and I hope it's not too annoying, I'm using it to see if I am able to slow down my talking for podcasts. All right, because I know I talk a lot or too fast. Now, the Metron Click has been around for centuries. The Metron is a tool for musician that was patented in 1815 by a German inventor named Johann Mittler. Okay. In 19th century, another inventor, not going to say his name because I cannot pronounce it. Created a type of metron in 1696, a French musician built a mechanical metron with an adjusting tool thing that goes back and forth, but it didn't make a sound. Now, in 1814, another musician developed something like it called a chronometer. And then finally, in 1815, Johann patented it as a tool for musicians. Now, today, it can be a mechanical, electronic apps, or on phones. Right now, I'm using a thing on the website to help me do this click thing for you guys to demonstrate what it is, okay? Now, these sounds can be produced in different things. It can be a click, it can be different sounds of recording. Now, in the recording studios, it was actually used in 1970s to help the musicians stay on time. So that is basically what a metron click happens to be. Now, Guy Lilly is going to explain it, how they use it for their recording. And they did a fantastic job with it. I didn't really have much questions on it because I wanted to learn more about it. What is it all about? And as soon as we got done with the conversation, we actually started to get to know who Guy Lilly is, because we have a brand new member that joined the group. So we're going to do that conversation as soon as Papa Satch play my brand new theme song. Hit it, guys! Let's talk about the music. Let's talk about the band. Let's talk about the music. Let's talk about the sound. Let's talk about the music. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the music. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the music. All right, welcome to the 5th episode of Let's Talk About the Music. We are in the studios, my studio, their studio, of Guy Lilly. I have been waiting to talk to these guys freaking forever. I got to see them not too long ago, and oh my God, they're amazing. So here they are, all together in Zoom. So we're going to go around the room. Each one have 5 minutes. And people can get to know you guys' voices, because this will be audio as well. It's going to go on Audioboom, Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, everywhere people stream podcasts, and then it'll be on YouTube 3 days later. Okay? So, all right. We'll start with Victor and Nancy. You guys have 5 minutes. Tell us about yourself.
I am Victor. I play guitar and bass. Nick and I switch off as part of Gilded Lily. And, you know, I love music. I spent a lot of time participating in the local music scene. And I, as you can see here, have a home studio in my house. And I spent a lot of time recording music and just really outside of work, that, you know, outside of my day job, this is what I spend all my time doing. And, you know, I just really try to surround myself in music in any way possible. And I've been doing it since my young teenage years. And it's always just kind of been a dream of mine to do what I've been doing. And, you know, just grateful for all the opportunities and people that I've met just in the local scene and throughout the years that I've been doing this, and all the relationships and experiences that I've built. And it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, as we continue in this project, made some really great accomplishments and helped release some really great content. And, you know, really just enjoyed the process of working with everybody. And for as short a time as the group has existed in this current iteration of individuals, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And we've had a lot of fun and played some great shows already, and, you know, looking forward to doing more. So
awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Nancy.
So Nance,
sorry.
No, you're good. So I sing in Gilded Lily, and I'm from El Paso, Texas. I play full body tambourine sometimes. And I collaborate to write songs, and I've been in Gilded Lily since it was born in 2018. Yeah.
Okay.
2018. Yeah. Pardon?
You just play full body tambourine?
I sing. I'm one of the vocalists. I'm not the only vocalist. We do a song where everyone sings. So
cool.
So a cappella at that. So I sing, I write songs. I try not to talk too much when I'm in front of a microphone so that we get to play more music, depending on how long the set list is. And yeah, it's been really great. So I'm very grateful for the gents of GL, and very grateful for, like Victor said, just grateful to be here. It's exceeded every expectation and blown my mind multiple times. And that's can't explain or describe the magic we create when we're on stage. And it wouldn't happen the way it happens unless it was with each other. And
right.
And it's organic. And it's awesome. And and we are Gilded Lily, we are members of the Connor Byrne Co-op.
Ooh. Nice.
Well, there you go.
So what's that real quick?
Connor Byrne is a pub up in Ballard, in Seattle, and they've been around. They've been a staple for years, and then for a minute they weren't. And the way they have recreated themselves is by developing a co-op. And
nice.
So we became members earlier this year, and it's really great. They support local music. They have. They do dance lessons. They have open mics. They support local musicians. They're about community, the way we are. So
nice.
There you go.
All right. We're going down below to Mr. TJ Wolf. Tell us about yourself.
Hi, I'm TJ Wolf. I am the drummer for Gilded Lily. I like microbrews and long walks on the beach. born and raised in Auburn. Been playing drums for 25 years.
Okay.
I do kind of like this production anywhere near like Victor's status. It's not a whole lot to say.
All right. So who inspired you to be in drums?
I would say, well, my uncle actually got me into it, but it's kind of been one of those things like since elementary school, drums and bass, but I actually started out on bass. I played the upright in orchestra since like fifth grade all the way up through like high school.
Mm-hmm.
And drums was kind of like right behind it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else to add? Okay. Okay. All right. We're going to go down to Dearborn because we have a new member. We want to talk, get to know her last. So Dearborn, you are up. Tell us all about you, girl.
Oh, I think I have my settings are all messed up. I guess I go by Nick in the band.
Nick. Okay.
Yeah. I'm in a nonprofit. So that's the road name for the nonprofit.
Oh.
So I joined almost a year ago, I think. My background is mostly music production in the electronic kind of house music realm. I was doing a lot of DJing with the weekend DJs and I don't know, just decided to get out of the bedroom studio and try to do something more organic. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I play the bass and the guitar. Victor and I swap. That's about it for me.
All right. And you guys have a brand new member of the team. So Miss Jessica, tell us about yourself.
Yeah. Hi. Glad to be here. I go by Jess and pronouns are she, her. I know we haven't been doing that, but and I'm happy to be here. I was invited. Nance reached out maybe like a month ago or so to see if I'd be interested in playing with Gilded Lily. And at first I was flattered and overwhelmed. And I was like, I don't know that. Yeah, I had in my mind, I was like, everyone's a musician and just like so much more elite than me. Like, I don't know. But honestly, it's been super fun. And I was worried about feeling like I was drowning, but it's just been really great. It's been super nice, really fun. And so a little bit about my musical background. I started when I was younger, playing classical and played piano and violin. And then I ventured into some fiddle stuff and really stuck to like reading music. It wasn't until more recently, like probably the last five or so years, that I wanted to venture out and try to do improv. And that's been... It started out very challenging and frustrating. I was like, how do people do this? But it's become really fun now. I think being able to revisit scales has helped me perform better with improv stuff. And it's been super fun being able to jam with different groups of people, which is how I ran into and met Nance and Nick earlier this year, was just by jamming with different music groups that get together and jam. Being able to do that in Tacoma and the Kitsap Peninsula has been a really fun way to keep music in my life and venture into more of the improv as opposed to like county orchestras and stuff. And so it's been really fun being a part of this group and trying it out. And I'm glad to have been invited and I'm glad to have taken the jump to try it out.
Awesome. Yeah, I got to see you guys play the other day, and you guys, I mean, I never seen the other violins, so you guys were awesome, amazing on stage. So I was just intrigued, and you guys are badass. I mean, when you guys were done with your set, like, you guys are done? No, you just started. Keep going. You know, so anyway.
Thank you for that.
We're grateful.
You're welcome. So before we go, like I said, before we go on the topic, I want to get more into you guys. How do you guys get the name Guided Lily.
Gilded Lily. Okay. So Gilded Lily was sort of it's a play on the phrase on gilding the lily.
Okay.
So originally you can say it's a mastodon. It's named after a mastodon song. You could say that it's sort of named after my cousin, because my cousin's name is Lily and she has two L's in her name. Literally it was a play on the phrase. It started out that way. Get a guitar from overseas for really cheap, and someone says, "Oh, I'd like to see the gild on that lily." But the guitar played wonderfully, you know, your best $199 you ever spent, you know. But what it is presently is definition of guild is it's a group of artisans, professionals, getting together for a common cause. In this case, we've joined forces to make good music and have fun.
And nice.
Is Latin for rebirth. And so this current iteration literally. We are multi-instrumentalists and we get together to make music to move you.
And it definitely moves you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. So what do you guys classify your guys' music? What kind of genre does it fit into?
Something like what? Like
good. It's a good
it's based around, I would say, like a little bit of it's kind of like based around rock at its core, but also has ties of like folk and punk, as well as a little bit of pop in there. And the songwriting isn't super complicated or anything, so that definitely kind of involves the pop aspect a little bit, with some catchy choruses and some stuff that's a little easier to digest.
Nice. All righty.
And blues.
All right.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention blues. Yeah.
And blues. Okay. So you guys play any blues concert, or are you just adapted to anything? Anywhere you guys want to go to, or is there some place you're not able to go to? I mean, how does that work?
I don't know. I understand the question.
Okay. So you say you guys are able to go to blues concerts. Are you able to go any kind of shows and adapt to their theme?
Oh, you're talking about playing like more genre specific type things?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We've played with a lot of different kinds of artists over time. All the way from like, progressive rock kind of stuff over to like, more acoustic related stuff, singer songwriters, really across the gamut. The scene around here doesn't necessarily seem to hone in too harshly on specific genres. Like they'll aim to have that sometimes, but really we've played with I'd say a good number of genres. I mean, for example, the show you caught us at, the general vibe of it was kind of funk and a bit soul oriented. So I'd say we can kind of gel with whomever we kind of come across. So
okay, good to know. All right, so let's get into the topic. Now, the topic that Nance and Victor wanted to talk about was, I'm going to say this wrong. Audio click. I'm going to say it wrong. You guys, metronome click. So tell us about this metro. I said it wrong. I gotta go ahead.
Take it, Wolfie.
So a metronome is actually a tool used to produce the click. The click is, I would say, the pulse of the song. That makes mm-hmm. sense. So that's pretty much what everyone follows, even the drummer. And as far as like recording, playing to a metronome or playing to the click, it's something steady for the drummer to listen to, and like post-production, or as far as like when other instruments need to like dub over anything, it's really easy to cut and paste. That's a whole nother thing to learn. I mean, we could talk about that for another hour. Like, I don't know if you want that. But, so yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's the pulse of a song. Everyone follows.
So how does it work? Does it have a click before, like, say, for example, does Nance get to sing and then after that it clicks with you start drumming? And how does it really work? You're talking to someone who has no clue about music stuff. So how can you do actually describe that to people who are listening and don't know?
Okay. So how about, Nick, do you mind sharing the experience we had at Snow White's acid trip studio that we just came from?
We had to record, we were recording to tape. So everybody being on time was pretty important. So using the metronome the entire time took precedence. So, I mean, I think Wolfie plays with the metronome even live. Is that correct, Wolfie?
Well, certain songs. Some songs really don't need one. I mean, you go more off the feel and just, it's pretty much feel, you know. Well, it's hard to explain unless you're actually playing it.
So, yeah, it's especially songs that you really want to have be more consistent and have kind of a nice driving force behind them. Having them to a click track can really make the song easier to follow. And as Wolf said, it allows a much easier time for production reasons, as well as just kind of the general thing that everyone's going to follow. It's kind of, say, the roadmap of the song. It's kind of like the lines in the road. If you start kind of drifting out of the lines, then you know you're falling out from where the band is at. And so it allows everybody to stay on the course and play that much more consistently and effectively. And some songs you don't necessarily want it to be too rigid in that way. Sometimes you want to allow space to kind of exist with how you're feeling versus maybe like trying to, you know, follow that map. Like, for example, like a lot of popularized music and a lot of hits and things like that were done to a click track. And then, you know, in different projects or different songs, people may or may not use it depending on the song picked.
Okay. So is this technique used a lot or is this brand new?
This has been around for a very, very long time. It identifies the pacing of a song. So for example, even as far back as like classical music such as Beethoven, like there would be in some songs a BPM, beats per minute, which is indicating the tempo of the click track or the metronome. And metronomes used to be a manual piece of equipment that essentially acts like a clock and lets you know how fast.
Oh, that device. Yeah. Okay. I've never seen that device. I remember that device now. Okay. I've always seen that device everywhere, but I never knew what it was for. And I just saw it moving. So thank you.
I want to segue Jess in here and say that I'm a convert to recording to a click. Cause once upon a time I was anti-click. And so what happens is when you're singing as a singer, sometimes what'll happen is you think you have an idea of what the tempo is in your head, but then when you get to say a bridge or a chorus, or me, where I like to take a Dave Matthews Band approach, where I like to do the song a little different every time, and you hold a note or something, then you can get yourself off time with the song. Well, you can get yourself a little bit off tempo with the song. So if you're recording, that can impact the way that, say, your vocals line up with the rest of the instruments, if there isn't that symmetry in tempo. And so what we did in Bremerton when we recorded to tape was started with strings, and the vocals were just sort of a guide. It was strings and it was bass guitar and drums recorded first, and then cello and violin were recorded next, and then I went in separately and recorded vocals to what had already been recorded full group.
Oh, cool. Now I don't know, Jessica, were you part of this one? So you're brand new, or are you coming up going to be learning this too? Or do you, or I don't know how to ask this question properly.
Well, then I'll just spout out some answers.
Okay.
I was part of that recording, which was really awesome way to.
Perfect. Cool.
Yeah. Awesome thing to experience. And while John and I were both recording cello and violin, we were listening into the previously recorded, it was vocals, wasn't it, Nance? Even though you then recorded again the vocals later. Yeah. Okay. So it was like a beginning initial recording of vocals and drum and the previous instruments that had been captured already. I think it was drums and bass and stuff.
So you call those scratch tracks.
Yeah. So they're putting them all together so that we could listen to them in our headset, and they were all based off a metronome. And you know, since we're recording these parts independent, almost in the, just at different times from each other, like you have to have some recording that you can listen to in order to stay in time, and staying in time is based on, you know, the metronome or the beat of the song. Otherwise, if we were doing it independent of each other without any like connection to each other, it wouldn't necessarily come together well. But yeah, so the metronome or the beats per minute, like Victor was saying, for each song is something that you can feel out, which Wolfie was saying he does with some of the songs. He guides the beat. He becomes the metronome for the music that we create because he is the guitar. He sets that beat.
Okay.
And while we play, he's got earpieces in, which are connected to his phone, which sets the tempo and sets the metronome, sets the beat. So he's also rooted into the beat of the song. And some of them, you know, he doesn't set to a metronome, but some of them he does set to a metronome because some songs, you know, we've dialed in what tempo we want it to be at. And some are a little bit more fluid. So.
Cool. Rock on. All right. So Nick, as you as a bass, right? How do you work along with this metro click? I did it. Yay.
I think I have the advantage where I don't really, I mean, Wolfie is the metronome for us. Like Jess was saying, he's got the metronome in his earpiece. And so he's playing the drums, and the drums are the metronome for the rest of us. So, I don't know. TJ's holds it down for the whole band, I suppose.
All right. So I guess what I'm trying to think is have you worked with anything else before you got to this band and were learning metro click?
Oh yeah. I mean, in the electronic world, as far as like EDM or maybe hip hop, stuff like that, everything is recorded to click. I think part of the reason that we're having this discussion is because it's kind of a great debate. There's some bands that say recording or playing to a click is, you know, frowned upon. But I'd say that if you are a professional musician, you learn how to work with the click it keeps you in time. It keeps everything just kind of tight knit. So, yeah, I'd say that that is kind of folklore that a good musician doesn't play with a click. I think a professional musician does play with a click. So,
all right. So, okay, so that makes me a next question. So I don't know who to answer. Anyone can answer this one next question. So Nick says that there's a debate between using click. Why? I mean, can someone else elaborate that topic?
Wolfie, what's your take on that?
People say that you actually lose the feel of the song and the whole emotion of the song, and it just sounds robotic. But I mean, I can see that, you know, if you're to go on and actually edit, then, you know, when you're recording, if you're to edit your part and snap everything to a grid, I can see that. But certain songs, you really do need one, I believe. It's just, I don't know. I really don't know how to explain it. Have you ever listened to a song and you're like, oh, it sounds like it's sped up, and all of a sudden it gets slower and slower and slower, and now there's no, you know, consistency, excuse me. It's pretty much just all over the place. I don't know.
Like, for example, if you were going to want to dance to a song, like, say you're listening to, like, Michael Jackson or something, and you, like, can sit there and tap your foot to it, it's... In especially a pop song like say that, and to be able to dance to it, if it's slowing down and speeding up, people can't move in sync with each other doing that. And it's the same as a band trying to play together on a certain thing. Unless the band has played together and understands each other's exact feel and has spent years building that connection with each other, a click track can be the thing that immediately draws everyone together, unless everyone has the same understanding of who is essentially driving the song. Sometimes it can be the drummer, sometimes it can be a guitarist. It really just depends. Certain members of a band may be essentially like almost like a conductor with their instrument and help drive the effectiveness of the beat. And depending on how that is done, it can be different with every group and every song for that matter.
Yeah, I was just going to actually jump in and say that, like, with my background, having been in like orchestras and stuff, there's a conductor that holds the beat. And that's just what, you know, Victor was saying, that like to have a metronome or to have a conductor holding the beat of the song, it doesn't mean that you lose the soul of the song. That's mm-hmm. why you have other techniques you use, like dynamics or staccato or legato, or just different ways of playing your notes. That's what gives a song a soul. And like, I think with different genres like jazz or blues, like you play with the rhythm of the song by changing mm-hmm. the tempo of the song. But you don't have to change the tempo of the song. You don't have to get rid of a metronome in order to create pure or correct music, because some music requires a consistent beat. And you make that emotion of the song in other ways.
And I'll piggyback and offer that, you know, we're an indie folk blues rock band. And it doesn't matter, you know, there's some songs that are a little country, and there's some songs that are a little folky, and there's some songs that are a little bluesy. And it doesn't matter what I sing. Everything has a little bit of a bluesy vibe to it, because I'm somewhat of a torch singer and I can't help myself. And so click or no click, I put every ounce of my entire being into what I'm singing, no matter what I'm singing and who I'm singing with. So it's, you know, it's been a great experience to play live no click, to record no click, to record with click. And it has its place, and there's, it's definitely, it makes a difference.
Yeah. Okay. So how I want to answer this one question. So if you work, Nance, with and without it, so when you are not working with it and you come back to it, is it just like riding a bicycle? You get into the groove with it, or?
I'm gonna out myself. It's funny because sometimes what happens is that I remember one rehearsal that we had that Nick and I looked at each other because we both felt like, oh, this is a little slower than what we're used to. And mind you, you know, I don't know if we're playing 120, 100, you know, 180. I don't know, fast or slow, but it's feel. And so when you go to a click so many times, you get a feel for it and you sort of become kind of a little bit of a human metronome. So when you play something a little faster or you play something a little slower, you can feel it. And mind you, we adjust because sometimes our songs are a little slower. Sometimes our songs are a little faster and it's cool. And you can feel it. It's not a bad thing, not a good thing. It's like when the wind blows outside, you feel it. You feel the breeze.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, some days we have 5 or 6 members depending on the day, and not everybody is in the same mood, you know, when you come to practice or when we're going to play live. So having that click can kind of, you know, hone us in and really get us on the same page. Because ultimately, mm-hmm. as a band, you want to vibe together and, you know, create a good sound. But, you know, some days are harder than others, and the click really kind of reels us in together. So.
All right, cool. All right. So, Wolf, since you are the ringleader of this Metro click, I'm going to call it the ringleader here. Did I pronounce it wrong again?
It's like, think sorry. Of like a garden, you know, you could think of like a garden gnome. So it's like Metro, like
Metro,
the, like park, like the Metro Parks bus, like Metro, and then gnome, like a garden gnome. Metronome.
Okay.
Yep. Metronome.
Anyway, since you are the regular of this thing, I have a hard time pronouncing. So what inspired you to actually use this method?
When I was younger, I used to listen to a lot of metal. And I used to watch a lot of YouTube videos of drummers playing and just that whole thing. And that kind of got me into it, say, just seeing that, watching videos of other drummers, other really good drummers playing the one. I'm like, that's what I need to do to become a little more professional, you know? So that pretty much inspired me.
Okay. So you weren't taught that, you just looked at it and just started going off of that. Okay. That's kind of cool.
I mean, I was taught it. And I mean, in high school, I was in orchestra and Lucius was saying, you know, conductor is what keeps the time, you know, so I was used to it that way, but actually playing this something that's more audible, you know, that was something that, you know, I kind of forgot about, you know, and kind of revisited. So, yeah.
Okay.
I was taught. I learned.
You learned?
I did. Gilded Lily's original drummer, Casey Lowry, 100% to a click, drummer to a click, 100%. And for the same rationale and reasons that we've talked about. And I know that circa 2019, when he joined Gilded Lily, and throughout the pandemic, when we would get together every Friday night to rehearse, I fought it. But it's because, you know, I'd go off script so much. And when we went in to record at Moonyard Studio with Doug, we needed to. Yeah, I learned quickly. Yeah, you need it. And it made a difference. And so I became a convert. And, you know, and grateful to boot, because nothing but world-class drummers in my experience So Casey Lowry, Peter Tiejin, TJ Wolfie, or Wolf, but Wolfie.
TJ Wolfie. Well, that's good to know. All right. So basically this method basically keeps you guys in line and make sure the song stays the same tempo. You don't have Nancy's situation where you go off rail, you just come back together again. So keeps it going, keeps it organized. Cool. All right. Okay. So anybody else wants to elaborate on more on this technique? I mean, have you guys experienced anything else? I mean,
well, if we could, I'd be interested in hearing a little bit from Jess.
Okay.
About the so we met in April on Nick's birthday.
Happy birthday.
At a jam. And so it was really neat. I'm interested in hearing what Jess's perspective has been on just the serendipity of how we met and then,
oh, yeah, please.
And then how you know, the John, the, you know, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon with John, and that experience, I think, would be cool if you're willing to share.
Kevin Bacon, what?
Wait, hold on. If this is yeah. if this is on record, it was in March, just so you know.
I'm yeah, March yeah.
baby.
Oh, I was in February, you said April, March, yeah. Whenever Nick's birthday was. I went to a jam in March and happened to show up with a lot of, I remember walking in the door and being like, with a friend, Paul, and being like, wow, all these people are musicians. Like everything they're doing sounds really good. Whereas like, I mean, I guess I was used to going to jams where it's like people are on various levels of knowing how to even play their instrument. And like some are really great and some are not as great. And it's like, that's fine because there's space for everyone. Not everyone has to be good. But I felt like, and maybe that wasn't the case, but it felt like everybody knew what they were doing and it all sounded good. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And that jam was really fun. It was really energizing. It was really creative. It went on for a long time. And prior to that, so that was in March. So prior to that, probably in March or April or so, even a year prior, it's about the time that I moved to Tacoma and I was trying to figure out where jams were happening and stuff. And so I went to Heritage Cafe and they were doing a jam, I want to say once a week, I can't remember now. And so I went a few times and I remember at one of those jams, another violinist showed up and his name, I think he actually showed up with his cello that time, and it was John. Little did I know, John was the violinist in Gilded Lily. But at that time, John was just a person that I met at this jam at Heritage Cafe. And I was excited because I was like, wow, this person knows how to play their instrument too. Like, this is fun. Like, we were playing songs and stuff. And it was a really enjoyable time. And he had mentioned, that was the only time I'd met him actually, prior to just a few weeks ago. But it was really fun. And I remember him saying how there was a music scene in Tacoma and stuff. And I was just like, kind of like, okay, where is it? How do I get into it? Like, it sounds like it's more than just this, but like, what is it? You know, so just kind of like kept like a cliffhanger that continued for a year. Until I realized, you know, that he was playing with Gilded Lily, and here I am now kind of taking his spot, and it's come full circle. And it's kind of funny. It's a small world. Didn't even realize it. So
what is like, what's it like to, replace a member who's been with the band for a while?
Well, you know, it doesn't feel to me, it doesn't feel sad or anything. Like he's being deployed. He's got job,
right?
That takes him out of, you know, and so it's kind of feels like passing a baton because there is supposed to still be a violin with Gilded Lily. And I happen to, you know, be in the right spot at the right time. And then just like things just lined up in the right way and kind of seamlessly to like let this kind of happen. And it feels really like lovely. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing I do enjoy, the fact that you do have a violinist in the band. There's a lot of violins actually starting to be part of a band in this kind of way. For example, we have TJ from Stone Evergreen Travelers. She plays the bass. She's really, really slapping that bass to the death. I mean, she's a badass woman. You're a badass woman. And I also had another friend of mine who's Shauna Quina. She actually plays a major hybrid guitar violinist. And it's just amazing to see this instrument who was made, well, I think was made for a classic, being into rock and roll or a band like this. So I think it's very impressive.
What's impressive is when you hear Jess play violin.
Yes.
I don't know how she does it, but it sounds like a freaking horn. She sounds like a one-man horn section.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens either. I think, you know, people say that there's something unique in the sound of a Stradivarius, which is like the most elite, like kind of violin, you know, from forever ago. I don't know. I think it must be how my violin's made. And maybe it's something in the varnish. I'm not sure, but she sounds
more
like
the way
times or a trumpet.
Maybe it's the way that you're playing too with your instrument.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So when you guys want a violinist, why do you guys choose a violinist for be part of the band? What was the inspiration of that?
Well, you know, Nance and I had done
at Heritage.
Yeah, and we played at Heritage, the same place that Jess was just mentioning, and we ended up filling in for another group that backed out, and you know, that was kind of the resurgence of Gilded Lily, was that we just decided to use the name. And you know, I had helped record the last record that we did, and so Nance and I were just like, okay, well, we can play some of these songs. And so we came together and played at Heritage, and then after that we had gotten offered a gig, and we really wanted to include John with us because his playing was incredible, and he was able to figure out ways to kind of play stuff that would typically be on guitar on the violin. And it was just a really cool touch. And he picked up cello as well. And so we just started incorporating strings, and he enjoyed playing with us. And so it just kind of happened naturally. It wasn't like we demand strings in the band. It was a just, you know.
Was it the Valley? Was it the Valley open mic?
I can't remember specifically, but you know, it was a really cool thing. And you know, we've also had a couple other members, you know, kind of come and go. And you know, and when Nick joined us, they replaced another member that we had at that point in time, another friend of ours, TJ, different TJ. And so they really did us a solid in coming in and also like kind of taking the baton in the same way that Jess did. So, you know, the project has had some really interesting twists and turns as far as different musicians who have come and gone. And, you know, the big part of it is just, we're all, you know, willing to support each other. And if people have other things that they need to attend to or go on about, we're always willing to welcome them back. But on the same token, we always just want to keep making forward progress. So.
Cool. Now, Nick, you've been there with the band for about a year. So how did you find this band?
Actually, through John. We played a show as Kinfolk. It was a one-time deal. But after that show, the the group just kind of fizzled out. So after that, we kept in touch, did a couple open mics. And then when a spot opened up, he, you know, called me up and said, hey, you should come check this out. And yeah, it worked out. They're a great group of folks. And yeah, it's been good vibes ever since.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, how I met these guys, I wasn't even promoting. I'm in school right now. That's the reason why the show is just now starting up again. And Nance or somebody got a hold of me and said, hey, it was you, Nance? Okay. Can you please help us promote? I'm just like, promote what? I wasn't really working, but okay, I'll try. I have no clue what I'm doing. So I searched the whole entire bill of that incident. I do have the thing I'd promoted you guys with. So I helped out a little bit. I'm going to go in and see who you guys are, because I'm just like, who was this person who made me work? And that's how I met you guys. And finally I got to see you guys play the other day. So it was pretty cool. So Nancy's fault.
Yeah, blame Nance. It's, you know, you wouldn't be the first, I'll tell you. Oh, there you go. But the cool thing about our band is that, you know, we've from a duo all the way up to full band. We're flexi bendy. We can play acoustic. We can play electric. You know, we've played at farmers markets and played like in Bremerton, for example. We've played the Art Wine Walk 2 years in a row in stadium. We got to play the Proctor Food Fest, the first annual one. We got to play at Manuscript.
Nice.
The first live band to play at Manuscript. And there was like enough room barely for three of us, and for a cajon and a string instrument and a microphone. And so it's, you know, the flexibility. We've done that, but at the same time we've played in Gorst at Deep Draft's anniversary party, their fifth anniversary party, and at the Wigwam's 12th anniversary party. And, you know, it's we're super flexible, and we love to play with anyone who wants to play with us and have fun, because that's what it's about.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We played in just about every capacity, whether it was just a guitar and vocals, or like, you know, all strings, no drums, or, you know, like just all different formats of the band. And, you know, it's kind of a matter of, we'll work out what we can, and it's just always a joy to play together. And so we definitely utilize that to our advantage.
Cool. Right on. All right. So, and Wolfie, have you always been part of the band, or are you new, or how did you get with the band?
So I would say there's a slow period, that I hit with a previous band I was in. And Victor reached out to me via Facebook. He's wondering if, you know, if I could fill in for a few shows, and I did that, and ended up playing even more shows, and then eventually I became permanent.
Cool. So,
yeah.
And having fun ever since then. All right. So are you guys planning on going on any tours coming up next year, or are you planning on touring at all?
Well,
that'd be nice.
Well, look at me.
Yeah, totally. All over the U.S. Actually, Europe. No.
Europe, there you go. Yes.
You know, South by Southwest would be pretty cool.
Yes. I was actually trying to get the show into South by Southwest. A little project thing for podcasts, a stage, whatever. And I was trying to get into that one, but it didn't happen. Maybe next time. So I have a lot of friends who went through South by Southwest. So that'd be kind of cool for you guys to go out that direction.
You know, there's always the opportunity. And so it's, you know, we're a working class band. So, you know, we all work, and then we have the band, and we have our gigs. And you know, and some of us have our plus ones, and some of those plus ones have offspring. And so, you know, it's a balance. And so, right. You know, at the same time though, if things line up, hey, you know, we have frequent flyer miles, discounts on car rentals, you know, we have our own sound equipment. We can run our own sound. We know, you know, we got an invitation to play a show in Pennsylvania on a farm in that. How big is that barn
thing? Oh, it's massive. Probably like 8,000 square feet or something. It's like,
you know, yeah. So there's opportunities, and we'll see. Like maybe. I mean, we went to Bothell in July. Does that count? Like,
sure. We did
a, you know, hey.
Yeah, the Red Fellow Music Festival. Yeah.
And we represented Tacoma, being they had 9 bands play at the Red Fellow Music Festival in Bothell, and it was the 3rd annual, and we were the only Tacoma band. And I feel we represented Tacoma well.
And good.
Concussion and all. And it worked out. And I mean, it's great because we get to meet fellow musicians, and we get to build community, and we get to interact and support each other and help elevate and, you know, and hopefully connect and see about another show, or, you know, making connections and keeping those connections, and you never know what'll happen down the road.
Right. Cool. All right. So one at a time, what is your big dream of a concert? Where you guys want to go? Big dream, big dream, big goals. I already know Jess wants to go to Europe. So, you know, so Naz, you go first. Where do you really, really, really want to book? Really want to go to play?
I really, really want to play at Connor Burn in Ballard.
Okay.
Play at the co-op that we belong to.
Cool. Victor?
For myself, you know, I would really love to play out of state. That's something we haven't gotten to do as a band yet. And really anywhere that we can represent outside of our kind of general area is a big win in my book. You know, playing on the largest stages of the world, you know, that's always something that would be cool. But you know, I'm still thinking on the road that's still pretty close to being ahead of us. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Cool. All right, TJ, what about you? What's your biggest dream you want to play at?
I mean, right now I have to side with Victor on this one right now. You know, just being on the road and just getting our name up there, just anywhere that would take us, and just it's just feeling like, you know, we'd like be welcome back to that venue, and just, you know, trying to get to know the whole community. You know, if we're talking about like a huge dream, I mean, I would say like the Whiskey A Go Go. Yeah,
there you go.
Nice.
All right, Jess, besides Europe, where are you going to go in Europe? You want to go take this band to?
Oh, well, I guess anywhere and everywhere, but maybe at the top. I have enjoyed watching concerts at the Gorge. I think that'd be very cool. Whoa, and Red Rocks would also be very cool.
Gorge is beautiful.
Yeah, but, you know, even just small towny dive pubs with a stage, that is such a cool jam as well. That would be fun. And I think Nick, I don't know if we hit you next or hit
you. Yep, Nick sticks. Okay. Where are you going to go, Nick?
Honestly, Tiny Desk concert series.
Nice.
I think.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Good one.
Nice. All right. So we have a few more minutes before we end this little interview here. So if you want to inspire any new musicians out there, what do you want to say to them? Since Nick, we'll go to you last. Let's go to you first. What do you want to tell anybody about this click thing, being a musician? What do you want to inspire to everybody?
Geez, on the spot. I say just play. I mean, I think what kind of like what Jess was saying earlier about jumping in this band and kind of having cold feet. I mean, because I come from a production solo kind of situation. So I had no idea what a band was like and I didn't think I could do it. So I'd say just jump in the water, because you'd be quite surprised, you know, what you're capable of, and the people that surround you can really help elevate you. You know, like Victor and Nance, they spent a lot of time just kind of coaching me and, you know, giving me good pep talks. So just dive in. You never know.
Okay. Cold water. Jess, what about you? What kind of advice can you? Well, I'm sorry, what?
I said good cold water reference, because, you know, cold water plunging is a thing for some of us. So good reference.
Actually, going right to me, yes, I also do cold water plunging. advice that I would give someone, it's interesting. I was actually talking to someone today who was saying how she doesn't feel like she has many creative outlets. And I think a lot of times our greatest barrier to anything is just ourselves and our intimidation from it. Mm-hmm. There is absolutely no one that can't try music, like, especially if you're curious. Like, that's the, I think harboring some sort of curiosity is a really great quality to do. And also you need a little bit of confidence with that to like actually take that step. But you don't, you know, first step, just go for it. Try it out. You don't know if you're not going to like it. Music is a beautiful form of expression. Mm-hmm. Might not be beautiful on day one, but like, give it a go, because, you know, I started out in piano. I was curious about violin, so I taught myself violin. I was curious about guitar, so I taught myself guitar. It's just like, allow yourself to be curious and to mess up so that you try it. Like, just give it
a
go. All right.
TJ?
Yeah, just keep on trucking. You know, like, as Nick was saying, like, you never know. For example, we're working on a new song, and Nick was like, oh, I have this cool idea I've been toying around with since, what was it, middle school? And it's a really cool riff, and, you know, we're working on it for a while, and we turned it into a new song. Next thing you know, like, we're at Rick's recording it, and it's like actually one of my favorite songs right now, you know. So it's pretty much what I'm to say is, yeah, just keep going, and music is a form of, you know, expression. So yeah.
Okay, Victor.
Yeah, for me, you know, I'm self-taught, and, you know, a lot of what drove me initially and just kind of kept me going was if you just trust yourself to do it, no matter how old you are, how late you feel like it is for you to try and get started in it, it's never too late. And yeah, you just have to let go of the doubt, the self-doubt that a lot of people tend to have, whether they're extremely talented or have never picked up an instrument in their life. The thing you got to do is just try it, go for it, and hold yourself to it. The level of accountability that it requires to play an instrument or be in a band is strong. And if you're willing to put yourself out there to do it, you can succeed and you can take it far.
Cool. All right, Miss Nance.
I'm going to say advice would be get a bag, you know, get a little bag, a little pouch, a little wallet, and put your fear in it. so that you do it, so that you try.
Oh.
And so you don't have to get rid of your fear, because that's unrealistic. But just put your fear in the bag, long in, or in the wallet, or in the whatever you find. Put your fear in there long enough. And that's fear of rejection, fear of criticism, fear of F-ups, fear of what's anyone going to say? What are they going to think? What if I hit a wrong note? What if I can't this, or all of that stuff? And at what everyone has already said, you can just put the fear, just set the fear aside. Because if you have no fear, there's nothing in your way. Because then you won't be afraid to try. And then when you're done, then you can, you know, get the fear back, and then, you know, then you can be afraid of, you know, everything. And, you know, but it's just, you know, you just can't, never could. And you know, so I can tell you that we went to Connor Burns' open mic, Victor and I, this past Sunday. And it was the kookiest thing, because, like, they have so many people there that not everybody gets to perform. And they, you know, they'll first thing they ask is, who's never been here before? You raise your hand and they let you draw a little chip, a little like thing. And so it's random draw open mic. And then they start calling the little chips because they're numbered. And then when they call your number, you go up and you pick your slot, and it's 10 minutes or two songs. And it goes all the way to like 1 a.m. They start at 8.
Wow.
It goes all the way to 1 a.m. And they have people, so many people there, that not everyone gets to perform. And the thing is when you go up there, everyone's so supportive. You go to try out new music. And it doesn't matter if you mess up. It doesn't matter if you try a new instrument, try, you know, whatever, cover, original, whatever. But you're putting yourself out there, and you're leaving fear, you know, on the chair. And you're just going out there and you're trying it, to put it on for size and see how it fits. That's huge. It's huge.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. All right. So there's a segment in the original Let's Talk About the Music that I am keeping that you guys don't know about. So here is the thing. This is called Put Me on a Hot Seat. Each of you get to ask me one question. Like, I get to be interviewed by you guys. So I'm going to go with Victor first. Ask one question. Put me on the hot seat.
All right, Shells. What inspired you to want to do this show?
I was a big fan of one of the bands a long time ago. They had a hard time getting their word out about their band. I can't say the name of the band, but I'll tell you guys later off screen. But they had a very controversial name, and they were very positive, and their music was fantastic. And they kept getting shut down and shut down and shut down. And so I wanted to be the voice, or a way for me not to edit anybody's experience and try to get the word out about your guys' music. And that's what I want to do. I mean, I didn't want to do local music right away because, well, everyone does it. So I went worldwide, and now I'm here doing local now on this new version before I do go worldwide again. So that's why I'm doing the show. I want to make sure you guys get to say what you guys wanted to say without any kind of backlashes, editing, or just be positive and be you guys and all your glory.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. All right. TJ?
I don't know. What's your favorite genre?
But believe it or not, I love techno, electronic. That's my favorite. Yes, I love it. My favorite independent artist who does an amazing job is Lanebot. Is in Florida, and recently texted not too long to make sure he was okay in that Florida hurricane. But yeah, I love his beats. Oh my God, I love his beats. Oh. All right, Miss Jessica.
Random question. What is the last thing that you tried out that was maybe uncomfortable or you weren't good at or you'd never done it before, but you did it just to try it out?
I used to be part of a band called Super Geek League. I was their jester. And a friend of mine wanted to know, I started meeting this guy named Shorty. You might know him, Shorty. Yeah. Shorty okay, McMillan. We all know Shorty. Okay, so I met him. He's a very loud, good guy, but loud guy. And he likes to talk a lot. And so as he was talking, he goes, Shells, do you like to dance? Like, yeah. Do you want to do it on a stage? No. And next time I knew Floyd from Super Geekly asked if I wanted to join them and beat their leprechaun. I'm known as a pixie, so it's kind of like weird having a pixie be a leprechaun, but that was my first gig. I've never done it before in my entire life, and I got to do it for 4 years. I started as their leprechaun. And I turned into their jester, and it was an amazing experience. And I was terrified. Like, and also, TJ, it was electrical techno music. So just like my favorite music, I gotta dance to it. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Nick, got a question?
What's your favorite interview you've done so far?
I have a lot of them. I can't really pick a whole lot, tell you truth, but I'll pick this one.
Good answer.
Good answer.
Dave.
God. All right, Nance, I save you for last.
Not the best, though, because all the best went before me.
Oh, you got a good one in there.
No, the gents are effing fantastic. Tell us about the most recent, maybe not nightmare, but most jarring dream.
Oh.
You've had.
Okay, I will tell you this one. The episode that I'm about to drop, episode 4, believe it or not, I had a hard time figuring how I was going to do this new show. I've been going around in my brain for like a year trying to figure how I'm going to do this show. And my friends who've been part of the Let's Talk About the Music since the beginning, they're on episode 4. And they were the topic of my dream, how I was going to do this. And all of a sudden, on winter solstice of last year, it popped to me. So when you guys see or he listened to episode 4, that was my dream right there. And that is why I'm doing the show the way I am doing it, because that dream inspired to do this, what I'm doing. Yeah, it's pretty spooky, huh? Yeah, I know. Pretty cool, right? All right, guys. So any last words you want to say before we end this in this episode? Plug yourself. Yeah, plug yourself. Hello.
Probably plug the EP that's coming out at some point.
Yes, please.
So we're working on, do we have a name for the EP?
It would be great if it were called Steal This, because.
Yeah, I think we're going with Steal This as the EP. we're getting real close to wrapping it up. So far, it's been a collaboration between my studio, Apricot Envy Studios, and it was Snow White's Acid Trip. It was, yes, my friend Rick's studio, and he welcomed us to do a couple songs over there to record on analog tape, and it was a fantastic experience. And you know, the great thing about this EP is it actually features each of the members who have played in this current iteration of the band. And it's just a really cool thing that we've gotten to record with everyone, you know, like and it's been a lot of fun, and everybody's contributed ideas and writing and everything. So it's been really, really cool.
Well, we're Gilded Lily. That's how you spell it. And you can on social media, Instagram, Facebook, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, everywhere you stream music. You can find us. We have a website to find our gigs, and we're booked through February right now. And yeah, like us, follow us, subscribe to the YouTube channel, you know, hey now.
And those who are listening to the show, Guided Lily is spelled GUIDEDLILLY.
Gilded. Yes.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for showing up for this hour. I do appreciate it. And it was fantastic to finally see you guys through the night and to finally see you guys all at once here on the interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Welcome. Alrighty, this concludes this episode of Let's Talk About the Music. If you enjoy listening or watching this episode, please subscribe because it helps build up the audience and share with your friends. Let them know that Let's Talk About the Music is talking to everybody who wants to be part of the music industry or interested in the music industry. All right. So also one last thing. Please go to Let's Talk About the Music and subscribe to our newsletter, because soon you guys get updates of what's going on behind the scenes at Let's Talk About the Music. And also you guys can read about the blogs that I post for every single episode. Okay? So let's talk about the music, because the music is everywhere.